listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live here on Radio Row, but with the ethos, the mentality of being straight out of Vegas, joined by Jonas Knox right to my left, Steve Fezzik to my right. What a show, guys. We are literally a couple days away from the big game, and we're going to be breaking down what is the Vegas market doing. What is it telling us? I think it's telling us some very interesting stuff. Also, end of the show, end of the hour, another best bet, prop best bet from the best prop player in the world, Steve Fezzik. But first, Jonas, one of the great things about radio is it's live. And as things happen, Fox is here to comment on them. Big news in the NBA.
Yeah, the NBA trying to steal some glory from Super Bowl week, and a major trade is about to go down as a trade call has been announced for coming up later on. The Dallas Mavericks and the New York Knicks. Kristaps Porzingis, number 4 overall, superstar in New York. He's been out with that knee injury and recovering from that, but he is on his way to Dallas, according to ESPN. In return, Dennis Smith Jr. is the centerpiece of the package that is going back to New York. So, RJ, how does Vegas look at a major move moving forward for both Dallas and for New York?
Well, let's get the obvious stuff out of the way. Quite frankly, most shows spend a lot of time on the obvious stuff. We want to get past that quickly and get to the Vegas depth of analytical analysis, I guess. I guess analysis can be analytical,
right? Yeah, absolutely.
Right? No doubt. All right, here's what's obvious. Porzingis is an elite player. He's also injured.
Yeah.
And you could start to say injury prone. I mean, would you say that at this point?
I mean, he's a big who's had an early knee injury in his career that usually doesn't end well.
Yeah, that's a good point. And he's kind of nimble for a big. But if anything, that's scary.
Yeah.
Because if that goes, then now he's got to go in the blocks. And yeah, right. A lot of debate there. But let's assume he's healthy. But let's eventually, soon enough. But let's acknowledge there's some risk. There's some injury risk when it comes to this trade for the Mavs. Also, let's acknowledge that Luka and the Mavs, just having Luka is an interesting, solid base. They literally could have two of the six best players in the NBA, the Mavs, in a couple years. Would anyone disagree with that? Assuming Porzingis is healthy in 2 years, I think it's pretty reasonable to think Luka is going to be a top six, top seven player.
Yes.
We're not certain of either. But all you can do is load those dice up to your advantage the best you can and let those dice fly. The Mavs have done that in this case, I think, in a wonderful way. Also, what have they given up, the Mavs? A lot of expiring contract dollars, many of those dollars, which means the Mavs are saying Porzingis is where we want to spend the money. And boy, is there going to be a better, you know, we could say Dan or Anthony Davis is slightly better now with less injury concerns. But boy, oh boy, it's not much difference between the two. And obviously Davis seems to want to go to the Lakers. So this is by far the Mavs' best option, meaning of all the people viably you could have traded for or paid for, who's better than Porzingis if you're the Mavs?
You can't think of anybody right now.
I mean, can't either.
Yeah.
So A plus, A plus, A plus. Now, let's acknowledge the negative. Not only the health risk, but also we're not sure, the Mavs aren't sure he'll sign. So, yes, it'd be one thing to sign him to a 5-year deal or whatever. This would be a home run. Here, this player could leave. I think we've done the obvious
yes.
Recap. Any thoughts on that? Because this is where most shows are going to stop. This is where we're going to start. Faz, any thoughts?
Well, I just think with Luka being 19 years old, I don't think that this is a risky die roll at all, that in a couple years from now, he's clearly going to be a top 10 player.
All right. And again, I agree. I mean, but you just never know.
Right.
I mean, but all because Davis is a top 10 player. Like there's guys now that are top 10 players. To say some, because I've got to be honest with you. If you made a list of all the young guys that a lot of people are confident are going to be top 10 players, and you count who's already a top 10 player, there's going to be about 22 people on that list, probably.
Fair enough.
Right? So, but I would agree Luka is as well-regarded. You know, that's an interesting question. If you were redrafting the entire NBA, where's Luka go?
In this past draft?
No, I'm saying if the whole NBA went into the middle – like it's a pickup, like a pickup game, right?
Right.
The whole NBA is sitting in the middle of the court, and there's 30 people picking.
He's a top 15 to 20 player, I think, in the NBA right now, especially.
But I think Luka goes higher because of his youth.
If you were redrafting forward,
yeah. If you were redrafting for a career,
yeah, I agree.
Where's Luka go?
I agree. He's a top 10 moving forward, top 10 talent moving forward.
And where's Porzingis go?
Healthy.
No, it's today. He's there. He's there on crutches, and they're drafting.
Oh man!
But for the next 10 years,
he's nowhere close to Luka, which goes to the they must feel like he's going to be healthy, or else they don't do the deal.
Well, even if they think the odds of him being healthy is only 70%, you still do the deal.
Yeah,
because you have a 70% chance then to have two of the best players in the NBA. And I think you got to give the Mavs a gigantic thumbs up for that. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, breaking down the Mavs trade or potential, I think likely trade now for Porzingis.
They have a trade call left, and then it's just a formality.
Yeah. I'm going to add one more point that I don't think anyone is touching on. I believe you can draw a straight line from Mark Cuban getting the TV gig on Shark Tank to this trade. Now, close your eyes unless you're driving and think, how am I going to do that? All right, here we go. In the NBA, it's all about brand. It's all about the brand of the team, the brand of the city, the brand of the owner. I mean, think about it. Lakers, Showtime. Clippers, 5 years ago, oh, there's that racist owner. And even though it might not have been public, it was certainly whispered about in the league. Right, so it's not just city, it's not just winning, it's how attractive in 2019 is this NBA destination. New Orleans, for whatever reason, I love that city, right? But this is different than me eating food in a four-day trip, you know, during Mardi Gras or whatever, right? That place for the Pelicans is not appealing. Thus, it doesn't matter how lucky they got with Anthony Davis in that draft, he's just not going to be there that long.
And also, what city is Mark Cuban an owner in? And what other well-known owner is in that city who's done as good a job as branding his team as anybody else in sports? Jerry Jones.
Mr. Jones.
Yeah, like they don't have conversations.
Exactly. So what's fascinating is that as appealing as Cuban's been from day one as being a maverick, right, both as the team name and his ethos, his what's in his heart, it was always kind of like, yeah, but that's a dangerous decision to make. And maybe if I'm an outlaw too, but now he's on Shark Tank. I mean, if we ranked owners by brand in the NBA.
Oh, God.
Am I missing someone?
Is there
even a number, a competition for number one?
Steve Ballmer's boisterous.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the title to go with it.
Yeah, Ballmer's got more money.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So to me, it's the fact that Cuban's done such a good job with his brand that makes it so they're willing to roll the dice on Porzingis, because if they were just the old Dallas Mavericks, maybe that chance to sign would be 30%, and they don't roll the dice. Now it may be 70, 80, 90, so they do. Thus, the brand of Cuban off of Shark Tank, quite frankly, and I get there was been some issues too, but you add it all up, the Mavs in Dallas is a very it's one of the 10 NBA cities, I think, that can land and keep a really top-tier free agent. And because of that, they take this chance. And I think it's interesting how something like a TV show could drive something like signing one of the best NBA, or in this case, trading for one of the best NBA players. Fez, you've got a point about something else about the Mavs appealing for Porzingis.
Yeah, if I'm Porzingis, I look at the success of Dirk Nowitzki, another big man that had such great success in Dallas, and I can draw a parallel. I can have a similar career, more likely that he's going to be pleased to be playing for Dallas.
Yeah, because remember, if your culture is so imagine just showing up in China, right? I don't speak Mandarin, but let's say I was getting paid $30 million a year. I'd be very happy in some ways in China, but I'd be like, oh, I want the American TV shows, and I want this, and I want that. Cuban has had over a decade to figure out with Dirk how to make it comfortable for a non-American superstar. Probably Dirk is what? The greatest non-American superstar, right?
Of the last decade. Greatest foreign player of all time, yeah.
So if any player knows how to create an environment, or if any owner, that Porzingis is going to be happy, it's Cuban.
And it's also, you see this in baseball, if there's a pitcher who's got a personal catcher and that's his guy, you want to land that pitcher? Tell him you'll sign the catcher. How did the Cubs get John Lester? Yeah, we'll bring in David Ross. No problem. That's your guy. Come sign here. It's similar.
I think that analogy is good. Like Seattle had an Asian player, and then it became a destination because they understood, hey, here's how you get the translator. Here's how you make him comfortable. Yep. Another advantage for Cuban.
Guys, want to let you know Fox Sports Radio is giving away 5 Fire TV Edition smart TVs in honor of Super Week and the big game. To enter for a chance to win, keep listening this hour as we'll be announcing the keyword for you to text. For more info and rules, visit foxsportsradio.com.
I tell you, we're going to be talking Golden State here at the end of the show because it's a big TNT game. I want to take a minute and talk about their 11 straight wins. Pretty amazing. Fez, you actually feel like that it's not just on the court with Boogie, but there's been even a bigger factor with Boogie joining the Warriors on the court.
Yeah, so Boogie's been there playing for 5 games now. They're 5-0 straight up. 4-1 against the spread with Boogie in this 11-0 run. But major change. What's their criticism of Golden State? They're great.
Apathy.
And they're
don't care.
They're a little soft.
Wake us up in the conference finals.
Shoot a bunch of threes and we'll win. So what's happened since Boogie's arrived? Points in the paint. Golden State was last in the NBA till Boogie arrived. The last 5 games with them, they're top 10 in terms of scoring in the paint. They've gotten tougher.
So schematically, they're not just an outside team. And I also think it excites them. It's almost like if you're doing the same job every day, and now all of a sudden, oh, there's a TV crew here. Or maybe it's, hey, there's a different secretary, and you're single, and you're like, man, she's kind of cute. So now you got a little bit of hop in your step. You've probably had this before.
Oh, of course. I mean, it's like you and Brad Powers on a road trip. At a certain point, you get tired of each other, so then you bring Fezzik in.
Brad's not allowed leaving Vegas. You haven't heard that?
Oh, yeah, he's got that thing around his ankle.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, okay,
yeah.
I got you. Yeah, it happens.
You know, we're seeing him on a webcam. He's not even smiling. It's like it's the truth hurts, baby. So, listen, I agree with you, Fez. I think for a couple of reasons. One, I think the Boogie's a great player when he's at his best. Right? Now, that's hit or miss. Number two, he adds something the Warriors didn't have, inside play. Number three, at least for the short term, it excites the team, the novelty of playing with Boogie. If we look at the numbers, though, in those 11 straight wins, 7-3-1 against the spread, covering by almost 9 points a game. Right? So they're exceeding expectations. You're making money with the Warriors. But even so, this season, Golden State is 5 games below 500 against the spread. So it goes to show you, Golden State is considered unequivocally beyond debate to be the best team in the NBA. But if you had bet them every game this year, you would have lost a lot of money. The great equalizer is always the point spread. It's not about the best team. It's about an underrated team. And right now, based on the recent against the spread, Golden State's underrated. We'll see tonight here in about 45 minutes if Fez thinks they're underrated in the spot on TNT. When we come back, I am going to go aggressively at Colin Cowherd, not once, but on 2 different topics.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell, the voice of Vegas. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan, live from Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta. And it's a pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas, live in Atlanta from Radio Row.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. And with RJ and myself and Steve Fezzik in Atlanta, we couldn't let the weather go by without throwing to our special correspondent, Brad Powers, for the latest from the Vegas Strip.
Yeah, each and every day we love to bring the heart of Vegas straight to you guys. And right now on the Strip, the temperature is 61 degrees and the neon is throbbing. Back to you, Jonas.
Ooh.
Wow.
Brad's alone and it's throbbing. But yeah. Now what I'll say is this. So the first time it sounded like he was far away from the mic, like
right.
A correspondent.
Yes.
And then I said, let's get a fan.
Yeah.
So our Vegas producer, Sleepy, had a small fan yesterday. We see the video of it. And today he had one of those like 4-foot fans over his head. I mean, they don't mess around.
It looked like Brad was doing the weather report in front of an airplane.
Let's just say it did his hair no favor. It did his hair no favor.
So, guys, we obviously are here. We obviously are here at Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta. And we do want to give a market update on where we're at right now. The line is still Patriots minus 2.5. The over-under is 56.5 on pregame.com.
Steve Fezzik, NFL expert. You read the screen, the odd screen as well as anyone. What are you seeing?
I am seeing a flat 2.5 across the board, RJ.
All right, so it's not really leaning towards 3. It's not really leaning towards 2. It's 2.5.
2.5 is the number.
All right, so we told you we were going after Colin. There is no sacred cows, no sacred cow herds. We tell it the way it is. Why? Because if we're wrong, we lose money, and I'm not okay with that. Not for the audience, the listeners, or for myself. Or if I have any children eventually, all right? It's got to win. Here's what Colin said, because he wants to pick the Rams, right? I can tell. I can listen to him and know who he's going to pick. By the way, we do our weekly podcast. It'll be out Saturday where he gives us the Super Bowl pick. I break it down. We talk props, all that on my Twitter, at RJ in Vegas. We'll put that out Saturday morning with Colin and I. But that said, I'm going to tell you the truth. This is what he said. He said, oh, well, the odds makers in Vegas, they're so smart, and they had the Rams open up as a favorite. And then the masses came in, the unwashed, uneducated masses, and they said, oh, Tom Brady, he's got some dimples, and he's got a supermodel wife. We're betting the Pats. They're good in the Super Bowl. I've seen them win Super Bowls. And thus it went to 2.5. Misrepresentation of the facts, Colin Cowherd. Here's the reality. In the first hour where no unwashed masses were betting, it was literally an hour after the conference final of the AFC when the matchup was set. The line went from the Rams a 1-point favorite to the Patriots being a 2.5-point favorite all in that hour. So it wasn't anyone other than a professional saying this line was wrong. And as we've taught you, the odds makers, those are middle managers with middling intellects, quite frankly. All right? It's the bettors, guys like Fezzik with mansions and yachts and don't have to go anywhere they don't want whenever they don't want. That's the next level. The reason when people say, quote, unquote, Vegas is so smart by the line closing 3 and it fell 3 kind of thing. No, the odds maker puts out the first line like an opening bid, and then it's the collective IQ of the bettors that together move the line in a certain direction. So Colin's making the point that the smart guys thought it should be Rams minus 1, and the dumb guys are making it New England minus 2.5. But it was the smart guys, the smarter guys, that made it 2.5 almost instantly after the odds makers made a mistake with the opening number.
Agree 100%. Go back 10 days ago, this line comes up, Rams are favored, and it is a feeding frenzy of wise guys, pro bettors that are betting New England plus 1. They're betting the Patriots at Pick'em. They're betting the Patriots minus 1, blink almost.
All the way up to where it is now. And let me ask you this question, Fez. Let's assume the line stays 2.5. Come Super Bowl Sunday kickoff, what percentage of the action do you think would have been bet at 2.5 where it got to within an hour? And what percentage was bet at numbers other than that?
The vast majority, like 99%, will have been bet at minus 2.5 on New England.
So think about that, Jonas. The idea that people were going to say, oh, it opened Rams 1, then it went to 2.5. Yeah, but 99% of the money likely in this case will be will have been bet at 2.5 and less than 1% bet at all those other numbers. Thus, the significance of those other numbers is very limited.
So when the sharps, the smart guys, see the Rams at -1, they pounce on that. Don't you look for something like that? How many of those are there a year in an NFL season?
Well, but it's easy to say that in hindsight because now the line's moved. And Fez, you've got a +1 on the Patriots in your pocket. That looks really sexy right now. Why? Not necessarily in his pocket sexy, but the fact that he has it is sexy. We've got a board guy laughing. I'll take it.
Well, the weather was throbbing, so I mean, I guess it applies.
Well, that's true. It's true. Brad all by himself back in Vegas. If we could only see his computer screen, who knows what?
God forbid.
So to me, yeah, you're right. In hindsight, the number looks wrong. And maybe the better way to ask that question is, and let me ask it, Fez, how often, even from the opener, will an NFL line move 3 points like this?
You usually see one game a week, RJ, and oftentimes we predict line movement. We've done very well doing it.
Well, you do excellently.
Yes, so it's not unusual.
Yeah, but only about 20 times a year or less. So you're right. This was a particularly bad line. I'm RJ Bo, straight out of Vegas. Now, the second disagreement with Colin.
Pooh, he's getting a beating this
season. Listen, it's just the truth. I mean, if the truth is hard on you, then take it up with the truth. Don't take it up with me. But here's what I'm going to say about Colin's other take, which was, hey, this Super Bowl means so much for the Rams. Imagine Goff wins his first one, right? Number two, McVay wins his first one. He overcomes the genius. It's the passing of the torch, right? Because Brady to Goff, in theory, I disagree with that. Also, Belichick to McVay, I disagree with that. I think Belichick's going to be the number one coach as long as he wants to be in the league, or at least until he gets 80 maybe. Right. Remember Muhammad Ali after the Rumble in the Jungle? There's an interview on YouTube where he's, he was a 4-1 underdog against Foreman. And he points out, he goes, you odds makers in Vegas, you made me an underdog. He goes, don't ever do that again till maybe I'm about 60. Well, I guess it's kind of sad to watch that now. But the idea one day maybe Belichick isn't the best, but he's going to be mighty old before that day comes. But here's what I disagree with. He goes, and the Patriots, if they win, if they lose, what's the difference to them? They're still great. Brady's still the greatest, right? And that's an interesting point. If Brady loses this game, does that in any way make him not the GOAT? No one would think so, I don't think. Any reasonable person. If Belichick loses the game, is he not the GOAT? So he's saying, what's the stakes? Now, I think Colin's right when it comes to talk radio topics, meaning it's much more interesting to talk about the Rams because the stakes are so high for them relative to the Patriots. And thus, if you're deciding on segments on talk radio, that's a pretty good idea that, to focus on the Rams in that way. But when it comes to what Brady and Belichick are thinking themselves, we know enough about both of them to think there's nothing on their mind right now other than winning this game. And if you think, here's an example of where there might be a motivational edge because it means so much to the Rams and not the Patriots, I think that is faulty, faulty, faulty thinking, because though it's not an interesting talk radio topic, how much this means to the Patriots, I think the Patriots want this game just as much, if not slightly more, but let's say just as much as the Rams. Jonas, as a fan, does that sound right to you?
Yeah.
Do you think the Rams have a motivational edge?
No. I think the Patriots have more of a motivational edge. And I know somebody, to your point, how focused they are. I know somebody that's staying at the same hotel as the Patriots. He said it is on total lockdown. At total lockdown. They are 100% focused. They've used the doubters all year. If you were to bet right now who's more focused, who's more into this game, who wants it more, I would bet New England in this spot.
And this is where there's the disconnect between what makes an interesting talk radio topic, and Colin's right about that, versus the truth of the situation, which is at minimum the Patriots are as motivated as the Rams, even though it might not be as interesting on talk radio. Speaking of good talk radio, in just a minute, Hines Ward talks about what makes the Super Bowl different for a player.
That's coming up next here on Fox Sports Radio. But for the latest, it's Dan Byer.
It's now official. The deal is done. Knicks and Mavericks making the swap today. The Knicks sending forward Kristaps Porzingis to the Mavericks in a deal that has point guard Dennis Smith Jr. heading to New York. Knicks also receiving Wesley Matthews Jr. and DeAndre Jordan as part of the deal and two first-round picks. Dallas gets Tim Hardaway Jr. and Courtney Lee as part of the trade. Now, the Lakers and Pelicans apparently still talking about Anthony Davis, so much so the LA Times reports that the Lakers sent the Pelicans five different scenarios on a possible trade to acquire the all-star forward. Cowboys officially named Kellen Moore as the team's offensive coordinator, with John Kitna serving as the team's quarterback's coach. Reports say Jerry Jones won't extend the contract of head coach Jason Garrett, who has 1 year left on his deal. Some college football notes. The Associated Press reports the College Football Oversight Committee will look into making changes to the current overtime rules this offseason. While the NCAA placed the Missouri football program, along with their baseball and softball programs, on 3 years probation, including a 1 year postseason ban because of academic misconduct involving a tutor. At the Waste Management Open in Phoenix, Justin Thomas and Ricky Fowler share the lead at 7-under par. Harold Varner III also at 7-under. And free agent outfielder Bryce Harper meeting with the Padres later this week, according to Ken Rosenthal of the MLB on Fox. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Dan. Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio, live from Atlanta at Radio Row for Super Bowl 53. As Dan mentioned in the update, the Kristaps Porzingis trade is now final. He is a Dallas Maverick. If you want to get our breakdown and a very, very well-done breakdown on all the aspects of this trade moving forward for both franchises, go to foxsportsradio.com after the show goes final, and you can listen to the podcast there. Outstanding job by R.J. Bell and Steve Fezzik on that. R.J. earlier had a chance to catch up with two-time Super Bowl champion Hines Ward and asked him, Hines representing Hyundai here at the Super Bowl, and RJ asked him what the key qualities are to succeed in a big game like we have coming up on Sunday.
It's how people deal with pressure, because this game is not like a regular season game. It's not like a playoff game. I remember playing in my first Super Bowl, and literally I got to the stadium maybe 4 hours early, went out on the pregame warm-up, and the stadium was getting full. I mean,
this was in Detroit,
Super Bowl 40. And I got there, and then I'm warming up, and now the celebs are coming in on the sideline. Now I'm seeing some celebs on the field. They're screaming, come on, Hines, you could do it. I'm like, now I'm trying to show out like Odell Beckham in my pregame warm-up. I'm out there killing it, one-hand catch, and got the music. I hear the celeb screaming my name. I wore myself out. I came back in the locker room during pregame warm-up. I was drenched. I was like, man, I haven't even put on my uniform yet. And I really wore myself out because I didn't know what to expect. You know, you dream about this moment as a little kid, as a child. Like, it's an opportunity of a lifetime, playing in the Super Bowl. I got to make all the plays. I got to do this. I got to do that. And then I wore myself out. I end up throwing up. I've never thrown up before a game ever in my life. So you don't understand the magnitude.
So it was different.
It was totally different. You can't even simulate playing in the Super Bowl. And then I had to get IV because I felt like I was getting dehydrated. Man, it was not a great start to my first ever Super Bowl that I played in. But then once maybe like the midway through the first quarter, things start to settle down, and then it becomes like a game.
So, and that's my question, because I've heard the first quarter and the fourth quarter is what's so different.
Yes.
In that specifically the first quarter, you're just so nervous.
It's just the nerves.
You don't even remember the game.
Yeah, you almost blank out. You're just out there.
And that was your experience.
That was my experience.
When did that start clearing up for you?
Probably about the end of the first quarter. The end of the first quarter, things are going and stuff. And I remember, as receivers, we remember our drops more than our catch. And I had a routine play, an opportunity in a lifetime. I made the catch 10 out of 10 times in the corner end zone. I'm worried about dragging my feet and getting it in. I took my eyes off the ball, clinks off my hand. I messed it up for the day. I said, oh, no, I blew it. And I just, on my mind, I just kept replaying it. And I remember Jerome Bettis say, no, you're going to get another opportunity. Don't worry about it.
Well, it was Jerome's first Super Bowl, too,
exactly,
though, right?
But he was the emotional leader, the heart and soul of our team. And I was like, oh, I blew it, Jerome, for you. I blew it. You didn't want to be that guy to blow it for Jerome because you knew he was going to retire. But it's how do you respond? How do you respond back from that mishap? that you had. And luckily for me, I got more opportunities down the road. But the first quarter is like no others. It's a different animal when you're playing in the Super Bowl.
Now, the fourth quarter, I hear, because the halftime is so long,
because
you spent so much energy nervous before the game, fatigue's a big issue.
Yeah, no question.
As you played your second game against Arizona, how did you pace yourself differently?
I cut everything off. I put on another jersey. So I had two Super Bowl jerseys. I put on my backup jersey, and I redid it
all
over.
Were you getting ready for eBay later?
I just wanted to reset myself and not be drenched in my clothes sitting there for 30 minutes waiting for the halftime show to get up. So I got my ankles retaped. I kept my pants on, but I got a new jersey and stuff like that. And that's how I prepared the second time. I wanted a fresh new look, like it was the start of the first quarter.
How much did you benefit from the experience of the first Super Bowl?
Oh, no question. A lot.
So you would say the Pats have a big advantage here.
No question, because they know what the routine is. They know what to expect during halftime. A lot of guys, they tell you about it, but unless you've experienced, you have no clue what it's like.
You're tight on time, so two last questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
One is, and I'm a Steelers fan, I should say. By the way, Merrill Hodge was the other athlete yesterday. So all Steelers so far as athletes.
All right.
You, and I was only able to read from the press reports. I want to hear it from you. My understanding is when you retired, there were other teams in the league you could have signed with.
Yep.
And you made a decision where you said, yeah, that's a lot of money, but I'd want to retire a Steeler. Could you tell me what the truth of that thought process was?
Well, for me, it was – I felt like I couldn't give what I couldn't give another organization what I gave the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I felt like I wasn't going to be fair to them. I wasn't going to be fair to myself. And at what point, yes, I was disappointed because I didn't – never wanted – I wanted to retire. I didn't want to get cut by the organization I played 14 years for. But I understand it's the business, right? But I felt at that time I've gotten everything I wanted out of football. I made Pro Bowls. I made some decent money. I played in three Super Bowls. I won two Super Bowls. I have a Super Bowl MVP. I can't ask for anything more. I couldn't envision my career going as good as it did for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
But very, very few people make that decision,
Correct. But I was already prepared for life after football. I had gigs set up that I wanted to. NBC was there. CNN was there and asking me stuff. So I created an opportunity for myself while I was playing to open up doors while I was playing. Hey, when you retire, you have a gig here. When you retire, you have a gig here. So I was already preparing for life after football. I just didn't think it would end right then and there. But I just felt like, I just felt like I couldn't put on another uniform. I felt like I wouldn't be the same. So
I admire that greatly.
Yeah.
Last question. You're known, rightfully so, I think, as a very physical receiver with your blocks. As the NFL evolves, how – obviously it's too simple to say, oh, look, they should be wearing girdles, or it's also too simple to say that, oh, none of this matters. People like offense anyway. I think the answer is somewhere in the middle. Where's the answer for you? What is the ideal amount of violence, of aggression in an NFL game?
Football is a violent sport. It's not for everyone. You can try to protect the game as much as possible, but you can't protect – grown man running full speed, colliding heads and helmets and stuff. It's just impossible.
When you watch today's game, do you think it's a lesser version of the game you played?
It is. I mean, you can't really touch receivers now. I mean, I hate to be a defensive player because, I don't know, you can't touch them.
You ever think how many yards you might have had?
No question. You can add on some more yards. But, hey, it's a different time. I mean, imagine playing against Mel Blunt and those guys back in the day. They changed the rule as well. So, I mean, it's just a change. Our game has evolved. Evolved and, they want to clean it up. They want to make it safer for players and things like that. So I get it. I'm all for it, cleaning the game up, but it's still the game of football. You still have grown men colliding. Each play, especially after interception, they should just say, let's cancel. You get an interception, you're down by contact. You can't try to run it because you see guys getting cracked back, laid out all the times on interception. And to me, the interception play is just as worse as the kickoff play.
That's a good point.
I'm telling you, but they won't do that. But they're trying to clean up the game with the kickoffs. But every interception on a run back for a touchdown, you see guys getting clobbered on an interception return. But they won't do about it. So still the game of football, still a rough game.
That's Hines Ward. It's been an honor.
Thanks to Heinz Ward, two-time Super Bowl champion, stopping by with R.J. Bell here live from Radio Row at the Super Bowl. Heinz Ward, on behalf of Hyundai and their new Shopper Assurance program, it makes car buying an easier experience for everyone. Heinz Ward.
Up next, Steve Fezzik with another prop best bet. This is my favorite one of all of his prop best bets.
And it is next right here live from Radio Row at the Super Bowl. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. It's the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas live in Atlanta.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. We have got a doubleheader on TNT tonight in the NBA, tipping off a little over an hour from now, 8 Eastern time. It is the Bucks at the Raptors and Steve Fezzik right now, Toronto, a 2.5-point favorite.
And I lean to Milwaukee plus 2.5, perception versus reality. The perception is these two teams are roughly equal. Toronto's favored because they're at home. The reality is Milwaukee right now is the significantly better team. They are outscoring their opponents on average by 9.5 points per game. Toronto only by 5.5. Milwaukee's been 4 points better. I will lean with Milwaukee.
Guys, after Milwaukee and Toronto go final, we've got the 76ers at the Warriors right now on pregame.com. Golden State, a 9-point favorite.
And I will lean to Golden State. What's the book on Golden State handicaps? Motivation. When this team is motivated, you want to bet on them. Since Boogie Cousins has come back, high energy with Golden State, a team you're looking to back.
Wow. Wow. That's square. but that's why you're not liking it, though, right?
I'm not liking it because it's the first game back since a 5-game road trip. Historically, a bad spot for the home team, RJ.
Because you're thinking the mail piled up, they got to talk to their mistress, all that kind of stuff.
The family wants some time, RJ.
Yeah, I don't think that's what they're focused on.
Guys, here at Fox Sports Radio, we want to thank you. We want to say thank you to ViewSonic for partnering with us for the second straight year in a row at the Super Bowl. Our Fox Sports Radio Broadcast Center stands out not only because of the live interviews on stage, but because the Broadcast Center features 26 flat panel display monitors featuring videos along with an amazing 75-inch interactive touchscreen that gives us the chance to follow our live social feed. And the pictures on these ViewSonic monitors are absolutely amazing. The features are sharp, vivid, 4K Ultra HD images. Check out the photos at foxsportsradio.com. They're fantastic. And do what we did. Log on to ViewSonic.com right now. That's ViewSonic.com and get your monitors today and just see what a difference it makes.
On Straight Outta Vegas, the last segment of the show, right before 7 Eastern, we always break down the biggest TV games. Maybe quick, maybe long, based on how much we like them, but we arm you with the knowledge you need to enjoy and watch the games and maybe even bet them. But once a week, we give Brad Powers a little bit of rope. If you like a game so much that you're like betting huge on it, even if it's not the biggest TV game, we'll let him break it down. Brad Powers.
Yeah, and tonight we're going to go to East Carolina -5. And this is an important teaching moment when it comes to college basketball. Where's the value in college basketball? A lot of times it's with these smaller conferences. I'm going to take East Carolina -5. Why? Yes, they're the two worst teams in the conference, but two teams this season heading in completely opposite directions. East Carolina, first-year coach, a lot of excitement. They're much improved. They've been good at home. And on the other side, Tulane, East Carolina's opponent, lame duck coach, that looks like they've quit on their coach. 9 straight losses for Tulane. I like East Carolina tonight at home, -5.
That's Brad Powers. Now for a Super Bowl 53 prop bet, we go to Steve Fezzik.
We're going to go to the Rams, Brandon Cooks. We're going to fade him. We're going to go under 74.5. All about Belichick. He likes to take away your best weapon. We saw it last week. He took away Hill, and he took away Kelsey for Kansas City, and Cooks has been the best weapon for the Rams in the playoffs. Cooks has been averaging 86 yards. Woods, the number two wide receiver, only 50 yards. I think Belichick chooses to take away Cooks.
Boy, that's a debate, though, and it's the question no one wants to answer. What happened to Todd Gurley? Because in general, you would say the analogy is Marshall Faulk, right? Is take the queen off the chessboard. That's what Belichick did against the Rams a long, long time ago. You would think if Gurley were 100%, mentally, physically, whatever is limiting him, he'd be what Belichick would want to stop. and maybe free up the receivers. I agree, though. Gurley hasn't shown us anything near being 100%. Thus, it seems very possible Belichick is going to try to take away, as you said, Cooks. I think even if it's not Belichick's number one priority, Fez, I still like your pick. Here's why. Who is the defensive head coach most like Belichick right now? Matt Patricia in Detroit. Had been in New England a long, long time. Well, Detroit played against the Rams this year, and what did they do? They had a very specific pressing Cooks at the line, which Cooks doesn't particularly like, and Cooks had a very poor statistical game. So if there's any analogy, any analog, any idea of this game's going to be indicative of what happens against the Patriots, I think it's that Lions-Rams game, and we saw Cooks get shut down. I think that bodes very well to shut Cooks down, Patriots, in the Super Bowl. Thoughts on that, Fez?
Yeah, I agree 100%. Let's face it. If you play for a year for the genius Belichick, he's going to know what your weaknesses are.
Oh, you bring up another point. Not only have we seen what Patricia's doing against Cooks, Belichick knows Cooks better than any coach. How scary would that be?
Yeah.
Thinking, Bill Belichick understands my weaknesses, and now I got to try to beat Bill Belichick. Let me tell you something. You're not going to make a living doing that. By the way, speaking of making a living, Sunday, noon, right here on Fox Sports Radio, Super Bowl Sunday, the first prop betting special on a major national radio network ever. 1 hour, Jonas, me, RJ Bell, Brad Power, Steve Fezzik, we're going to break them down, all the key prop bets for the full hour, noon Eastern, Super Bowl Sunday.
Can't wait for that. The Odd Couple is next here on Fox Sports Radio for the latest on the Kristaps Porzingis trade. We are straight out of Vegas. Back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Straight out of Vegas!